Well, good morning, everyone. Let's all stand together this morning. What a great and awesome day to take a little bit of time and celebrate and worship our Savior.
Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen, 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 amen. I love that song. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If the Lord's been good to you, let me hear you say amen. Amen. It's about time that we as the Church of Christ proclaim how good the Lord is and what he's done for us. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but the Lord's been way better to me than I deserve. And I think that... You know, the world wants us to be quiet about it, but I think we need to shout the praises. Shout the praises. How many believe he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How many believe he's still the answer? The Bible says he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Amen. Well, would you just go to prayer with me this morning? Lord, we acknowledge you. Lord, We are the redeemed, Lord, and we say that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, today we proclaim your name. Today we lift you up. Today we say you are worthy to be praised. And Lord, right now we just invite your presence into this place. We ask, Lord, that you would just be here in and amongst us, Lord, as we celebrate through worship, as we honor you through prayer, as we give of the tithe and offering, and Lord, as we hear from your word today, Lord, as we celebrate missions today, Lord, may every part of it fill our heart, not just with joy, but with vision and with mission today. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning for just a few minutes. And I want to say welcome, welcome to everyone. But I especially want to say welcome to those of you that are visiting with us today. There's a card in the seat back in front of you. If you would grab that card and fill it out, place it in the offering bag that's going to go by in just a little bit. It gives a record of your attendance, lets us know you came to visit with us. And we would really, really appreciate it. And we want to say again, welcome. Thanks for coming. And we are so happy that you are here. Well, we're excited to have Jimmy and Cynthia Lemons today, and they're going to come share with us in just a little bit. And so I'm challenging you as we worship and enter into that time that you open your hearts and ready for the Lemons to come and share with us. Well, we've got a few things happening around here. First of all, Miss Phyllis, wave your hand over there. Miss Phyllis is right there. Yes. And Al don't want you to look at him. Just Phyllis, all right? There you go. she's leading up our vacation Bible school this summer, and already getting all the plans and preparations ready. And so if you're going to help with that, you just think, you know what? I don't want to lead, you know, something. I think we got most of our main leaders, but we do need helpers to come up underneath them and help them in the different areas and departments and things like that. If you would sign up so she knows that you're interested in helping, that'll get us all lined up and ready to go for that. And we're excited that June 27th to July 1st, we're going to do monumental VBS. It says celebrating God's greatness. And so it's going to be awesome. We are excited to minister to the children of our community. Also, March 6th, that Sunday evening, is our annual family meeting. I want you to make sure that you don't miss that. And I want to make sure that everybody knows that's when that's going to happen. And then how many of you took a baby bottle in support of the Eden Clinic, the fundraiser, put your change in there or dollar bills or a check, whatever. But we need you to bring those back by next Sunday morning, okay? Next Sunday morning. Some of you have already began bringing them back, but we need them all to kind of come back by next Sunday. And so if you'll do that, we'll be celebrating a successful fundraiser and helping the Eden Clinic do what they do. And then tonight, if you have a young person that would like to go with us, we're going to go to the Speed the Light tour tonight over in Yukon. We're going to leave here at 5 o'clock, and so they need to bring some money. We're going to go eat pizza, and then, because, you know, pizza is kind of like a youth thing, right? You know, you can't have a youth trip without pizza. And they say that every youth pastor is at least 63% pizza, so most of y'all are majority water, but not youth pastors. We're mainly made up of pepperoni and cheese. So, but we're going to have pizza, and then we're going to go over to Yukon and celebrate. As you know, last year, the youth department gave $10,000 to Speed the Light. And so we're pushing forward even to do bigger and greater things this year. And were we fifth in the state? Fourth in the state? What were we? Fifth in state. So we're pushing to try to get even higher than that. And so we're going to go celebrate and have a great time. We'll be back about 9 o'clock. If you don't remember those times, they're in the bulletin. And then next week is our Connect Group, and we're going Connect Group Experience, and we're going to go bowling. And so if you want to go bowling, you don't need to turn any money in, but you do need to sign up so we kind of know who all's going. And you can sign up. If it's your whole family, you can just put, like I put Freeman family on there. You don't have to put every person in your family. But if you do that, would you put, you know, like Freeman family and four people or however many is going to go, it's just so we have an idea of how many are going to come bowling with us. And you won't pay until you get there to the bowling alley. It just gives us a kind of an idea of how many people are going to join us for the Connect Group experience. And we had a great time doing it last semester, and so I know it's going to be fun to do it again this semester. And then last but not least, if you're a credentialed minister and you're sitting in here today, Pastor and I would love to invite you to join us to sectional council. It's at Bethesda Church, is it not correct? Yeah, and so we're going to be meeting at 5:30 in the front parking lot. And if you want to ride with us, hang out with a couple of cool pastors, one and an old guy. Pastor, I always promised you I wouldn't lie from the pulpit. And so I tried, but we all knew. And so, but if you'd like to ride with Pastor and I, we'd love for you to join us. And so, but would you let Pastor I know? So yeah, it's tomorrow night at 5:30, and we'll leave from the front parking lot. But would you let us know that you're coming? Because it would be really sad for us to leave and then you come and then, you think that we lied, that we really didn't want to hang out with you. And that's not true. So I think that's all the announcements. Going to ask the ushers to come as we receive the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. 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 I'll tell you what. Time is flying by, is it not? I can't believe we're almost at the end of February, and I'm just excited. Once again, we in 3 weeks from today, the youth group leaves for Mission Arlington on our spring break missions trip, and with the other two churches, we're taking 20. The other two churches are taking 20 combined. We'll have 40 young people on the missions trip, and we're super excited about what the Lord's going to do. So we ask that you pray for that as we as we get ready for that. Let's pray over the tithe and offering. Lord, we thank you this morning once again for all you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the cheerful heart in which we give. Lord, and the obedient heart we give. And Lord, would you multiply it, further the kingdom. Let people know that you love them. Let them experience your love. They'll never be the same. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Perfect grace.
voice today. We thank you, Jesus. We just lay it all at your feet today, Father, for we are yours. And Father, we just want to go out into the streets and on the rooftops to just shout your name across this land and across this state, across our town, that Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And today we just give it all to you.
And tear down these idols and every stronghold. Tear down all judgment and all my pride, and tear down religion and all my self-righteousness. I want an encounter, a real encounter. I say yes. Yes to your love, yes to your freedom. I say yes, God, yes to your heart and all of your healing. Your ways are higher, Lord, I surrender. I come to you just as I am and say yes. Yes to Jesus. God, I am ready for all that you promised, for all that you are. So pour out your spirit and pour out your presence now. I want an encounter, a real encounter.
Say yes. Yes for everything that you have for us and all the things that you want us to do and for your plans in our lives. Father, we say yes. We just lay it all down and say yes, Father. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? We say yes. We just surrender it all to you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I give you my life, I give you my trust, Jesus. And you are my God, and you are enough, Jesus. I give you my life, I give you my trust.
Praise God. Is that your desire for the Lord to take everything? And Lord, I just surrender all to you, Lord. No better way to live. Amen. Praise God. We want to lift up some people to the Lord this morning. Linda Hastings' brother passed away. He had a heart attack, and then he did not recover from that. So let's lift up Linda and her family this morning. Shelly Tyler, Bobby Saul Frank, and my dad, Harold Lance, are all recovering from surgery. So we want to pray that the Lord help them. Help them have a great recovery. Shirley Grindstaff's sister, Joyce, really needs the Lord's touch upon her. And then I just got word that Natasha Looney's dad, Jimmy, has cancer, is not doing well, and she's asking that we pray for her dad today, Jimmy. And so let's lift up these needs to the Lord. And also, I just understand this week that we have a new city council member in Noble. Pastor Chad is now Ward 4, so we need prayer for that. So we got the mayor and the city council. Apparently, all the government goes through Noble Assembly of God. So, I think we need to be involved in our community and in our town as much as we can, and have that Christian influence. And so, I didn't even know that till this morning. So, amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, and we do pray that you would just bless each one of these names that has been mentioned. We pray for comfort and peace for Linda. We pray that you would just touch her today and her family as her sudden loss of her brother. I pray that you just give peace and strength and peace to all in the family. We pray, Father God, for Shelley and Bobby and my dad, they're recovering from surgery. I just pray that you just help them, Father God, to completely be well from the surgeries that they've had. We pray for Shirley's sister, Joyce. Pray that you touch her today. Just minister to her. You know what's needed. And we just believe that your touch will change her life. We pray also for Natasha's dad, Jimmy, that you would touch him. Lord, minister to this dad today. Just touch him and help him and heal him, Lord, we pray. And we do thank you, Lord, for both Pastor Chad and Pastor Phil being involved in our local government. We just pray for wisdom and direction for their lives and all that serve our community, as well as our country, our president and our other leaders. We just pray your kingdom come and your will be done in all of our nation. And Lord, just bring revival to our nation, Lord, we pray. Let your church be on fire. Lord, touch your church. And we just pray, Father God, your will be done. And thank you for all of our missionaries we support. And we just thank you for the Lemon family who is with us this morning. And we just pray that you just bless all of them. And we give this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Good to see you all this morning, on this Sunday morning. So thankful for the Lord. The Lord provided us a drummer this week, Brother Michael Merritt. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And Brother David got married yesterday, and I knew we weren't going to have a drummer today. And so I came in, I thought, I hear drums playing in the rehearsal. And there was Michael. And I talked to Michael just briefly, and he prayed about it, and I didn't expect him today. But so thankful that the Lord spoke to him and said, yeah, get in there. I think he did a wonderful job. Very talented. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, we are a missions-minded, missions-giving church. We support over 70 missionaries monthly. And I believe the Lord blesses churches that support the work of missions around the world. And so I make no apologies. About once a month, we have a missionary in, and twice a year, we have a missions convention where we have two or three missionaries in. Our next missions convention is the end of March, and then we have one the end of September. But each month, we have a missionary in to share what God is doing and wherever they're serving. And so I am so thankful. They're my heroes, and I am thankful to you for your giving to support missionaries like this. There's not a lot of churches our size that spend almost $7,500 a month supporting missionaries. And so I believe the Lord blesses churches with that type of heart. So Jimmy and Cynthia Lemons, we are glad to have them. They've been serving in the mission field, I think you said, like 32 years. And so we've been supporting them $100 a month for about 10 years. So we've given them some support over the years. And we just appreciate them. They serve in the nation of Togo, Africa. Before that, they were in Cameroon for about 25 years. And so we're going to let a video introduce them, and then they're going to come up. So welcome the Lemon family. Help me welcome them this morning. Amen.
Jim and Cynthia Lemons have been Assemblies of God missionaries to Africa for over 30 years. After serving approximately 25 years in Cameroon, they answered the call to transition to Togo and are living on the West Campus in Lomé, where they minister on campus throughout Togo and across Sub-Saharan Africa. The Lemons are working towards an increasingly redeemed Africa and are involved in all levels of training at the West Campus, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral programs. Pastors from over 20 countries across Africa come to Togo to continue their theological education.
We bless the Lord for the life and ministry of Dr. Jim and Cynthia Lemons. Since they arrived here in February 2017, they have been involved in various ministries, first here at WASTS and WIPAS, where they are training African church leaders. They are also involved with the WASTS International Chapel, where they preach for us and edify the church, and also with church planting in various places where they visit and plant churches.
Dr. Lemons is the PAS, the Pan-African Theological Seminary Francophone Coordinator, and is preparing for a first doctoral program in French. The Lemons are working with French-speaking pastors and scholars from France, Canada, Europe, and Africa to make the Pentecostal French doctoral program a reality. Jim is also the Dean of Extension Centers for WAS. Currently, our extension centers are located in 8 African nations: Madagascar, Senegal, Cote d'Ivoire, Democratic Republic of Congo, Cameroon, Burkina Faso, Sierra Leone, and Ghana, with other possible sites opening in the near future. Jim and Cynthia also work among the unreached and least rich people's group of Togo through their partnership with Togo Assemblies of God Home Missions Department.
We're Jim and Cynthia Lemons, your missionaries to Africa. We've been here for over 30 years now. We are currently based in Lomé, Togo.
On the West Africa Advanced School of Theology campus, we want to thank you for your love, your prayers, and your support for us for many years. Thank you for being a blessing to Africa and to the Lemons.
God bless you all.
Good morning, Noble Assembly of God. Thank you so much. We want to say thank you this morning because everything that the Lord has allowed us to do... that the Lord has allowed us to do, you've had a part of that. And we're just grateful to be your hands extended, and in Cameroon before and now in Togo. And just thank you for being a blessing to us and to the Africans and helping our trained pastors. I love your banners. Hey, you've got Reach, Plant, Train, and Serve, and that's our motto for the Assemblies of God World Missions. And so we've by God's grace we've been able to be a part of all of this. And for the most part, right now we're training pastors. And so I want to ask if you will to pick up a fresh prayer card, and some even have magnets on the back. So wherever you like to have your prayer card, remember to pray for the Lemons. And I encourage you, if you squeeze lemons in your tea, water, or seafood, to remember to pray for the Lemons. And now, young adults, if you get an order to go, remember the Lemons in Togo. So thank you so much. We greatly appreciate you.
Gloire à Dieu. C'est à moi de dire merci mille fois pour tout ce que tu as fait pour l'œuvre de Dieu, pour le royaume de Dieu, pour les missionnaires partout du monde. I'm just thanking you for all that you do for missions all around the world. So I'm sorry, Pastor Steve, I didn't give you time to interpret. So, well, it's been a real journey, an incredible journey. We left the United States to go to Cameroon before Google, before the internet, before cell phones, and so God just blessed us and protected us and helped us and provided for us through many different situations and things. For instance, I couldn't Google a green snake that tried to move into our house with us. You know, it was a green mamba. So I didn't know it was a dangerous snake growing up in Oklahoma. I thought it was a grass snake, which is fortunate for me because when I was this close to it, eye to eye, squeezing by it, I had no fear, so it didn't strike me and kill me. So that was really a good thing. And then a guy, well, I went to preach in a village outside of Balmayo, and a guy was really angry with me to come to preach in the village. So he came after me with his machete and was yelling at me in French so I could understand, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut your head off." And so I didn't know what to do. He's come rushing at me with a big machete over his head and really going to cut my head off. And I rebuked him in Jesus' name, both English and in French, just in case. And he just froze with the machete over his head and then put it down at his feet. And I turned, after staring at him in disbelief and for a while, I turned and walked into a little mud house and mud brick house and preached the gospel to all those who were brave enough to squeeze into that little living room. And every single person accepted Jesus that morning, and we started a new church. We went from approximately 200 churches to 1,600 churches while we were there. And God was doing such a great work. Church growth just, going at a great pace. And we took 10 acres of jungle. Now, the Cameroonians, I know there's a Cameroonian here, they would say it's dense forest. But for Americans, jungle. So whatever you think of jungle, yeah, that's what it was. And we cleared 10 acres of jungle and built a Bible school there by the grace of God, and built 15 permanent buildings there over the course of the years there. And it was all by the grace of God, and sometimes it was just by faith. A gardener/mason worker there at the Bible school, we were out. We needed another building, and I asked Cynthia, she does all the bookwork, and I said, "Do we have the money to do another building? Because we need another dormitory." And she said, "No, we don't have it." I was like, "Well, we need it." So I got Timothy, and twine is not expensive, and we can make some stakes in the ground. I drew up the plans myself, so that didn't cost anything. So we got out there and we started digging for the foundation of a building, and before we were finished, the Lord provided the funds for that dormitory. So God has provided for us. He's protected us. Had a few bouts of malaria, all other kinds of things. God has kept us through it all, and it's been an incredible journey. The highlight of all 32 years now of being a missionary was actually in Cameroon, going to the Ngoshi people, which they were an unreached, untargeted people group in the Mandera Mountains. When I found out where they were, I sent some, well, actually I had to send out some Bible school students to find out where they were. And a team went out, they located an interpreter for me. So I preached. It's a long story, so I'll go to the end, but the deal was I had to go to his village. He was a Muslim, in order to preach to his people. But the deal was I had to prove that a vehicle could make it. I couldn't walk. I had to prove that a vehicle could make it to his village. So I was like, deal, I know you're getting ready to go to Speed the Light. We had a Speed the Light Toyota Hilux, one ton, four-wheel drive, double cabin, diesel truck with a homemade cattle guard. Oh, yeah. And I mean, that leaf springs front and back was more tractor than it was truck. And that thing was like indestructible. It could go anywhere. And so I loaded that up with Africans inside, outside, live chickens, no joke. Tent, generator, everything to go up the mountains to an unreached people group to tell them about Jesus for the first time. And then we got up there. Here's the deal. Got to the village of Turu. There's no road. So we have to make the road. Following footpath, low four-wheel drive. I'm going in Nigeria, out back in Cameroon, Nigeria, Cameroon, up. It's almost straight up. It's like National Geographic. Round huts, thatched roofs, baobab trees where the people would worship because they expected spirits to inhabit those trees. And we it was incredible. When we finally made it where no vehicle could go any further, that was the chief's village. Parked the vehicle, got out. I preached underneath a tree. People sat on stones. And on hearing the name Jesus for the very first time, they responded 100 at a time. So the Ngoshi people are no longer an unreached people group. Boko Haram came over from Nigeria, came over and burned. We built their first ever church building. They came over and burned it down. And that what that did was it scattered the church all through the mountains to the 19 other villages, and the church just grew. You know, Satan's kind of dumb sometimes, but anyway, we eventually went back and rebuilt the church anyway. And the church themselves, they built a parsonage, which I actually stayed in. And, you just can't stop the church. The church is unstoppable. There's no COVID. There's nothing that can come against the church that will stop the church. And the Holy Spirit is at work. If you listen to the news here in America, you could get depressed. I try not to watch the news too much. But I want to tell you, God's doing some great things around the world. And people are being saved. People are being delivered. There's some great things happening. Over our ministry, we've seen hundreds and thousands of people come to Christ. And hundreds and thousands of people baptized in the Holy Spirit. As many as 300 baptized in the Holy Spirit in one meeting. That was in Yaoundé, in the outdoors, in the capital city of Cameroon. 300 people baptized in the Holy Spirit, outdoor meeting with tents. And I asked them to come out of their tents and stand in the hot Africa sun to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it was like wind blowing through a wheat field. It was incredible. So now we've been asked to go do another pioneer work. And that is to go to Togo and start the first ever Pentecostal doctoral program in French. It doesn't exist anywhere in the world until now. And we're doing it with a team. My wife is the registrar. I'm the dean. We're putting together a team. We're doing our best, and pray for us seriously, because it's a real pioneer work. So we're doing what missionaries are supposed to do. You know, you start out from nothing, and you do all the ministry until you get the Africans to the level where they can do it themselves. And the last thing to do is the theological education at the very top, and that's the French doctoral program now. So pray for us, and we're raising funds for that program right now. We're in the process of doing it, but we started out saying we need 400 individuals who will give $250 one time for this doctoral program. That is for textbooks in French, logistics to get this all put together, and partial scholarships for the pastors, because they don't make very much money. And so we, Cynthia and I were the first to give, so we needed 398, you know? We needed 398 people to give. Then we've seen it go down. Now we need 300 as we travel. Now we need 200. Now we need 100. Today, if I'm correct, on right now, we only need 79 more individuals, or the equivalent, to reach our goal to make Pentecostal history. And you can do that with us. And if you can't do that in any form or whatever, you can at least pray for us. We still need a lot of positions filled. And we're believing God that this is going to be great, because we're training the trainers to conserve the harvest. The harvest is great in Africa. I mean, I may be preaching to the choir here, because it seems like you're all like pumped up about going out and doing mission work. And I praise God. You know, that's wonderful. But in Togo alone, it's a small little country, about the 1/4 the size of Oklahoma, but double the population. And in Lomé alone, we have over 200 Assembly of God churches, and 60 or more have 1,000 members or more. I think the largest one has about 7,000 members. So on average, before COVID, the Assemblies of God National Church in Togo was planting a new church, on average, one church every single day. Every single day a new church is being planted. In fact, the emphasis is that Every church is supposed to, they're strongly encouraged to plant a new church every year. So, and the church you saw in the video, they plant 5 new churches every year. That's Awas International Chapel, where we have it. The church seats 2,000 people, and they're wanting to tear that down, build another one to seat 3,000. And we have a radio station, Radio Jésus Vous Aime, Jesus Loves You Radio, on campus. And as you preach in the morning to 2,000 people live, it goes out over the airwaves, and we have used to have an average of 100,000 listeners in Togo. But with COVID came and a lot of churches were shut down. So what did that do to the radio listenership? It went up to 600,000. So on average, you're preaching to 602,000 people on a Sunday morning. So it's just an awesome thing. You cannot put the Holy Spirit in a box. I mean, people are being saved, delivered, healed right over the radio airwaves. So God's just doing a great thing. Cynthia and I were hiking up in the mountains. They don't have big mountains compared to Cameroon, but there's small mountains in Togo. We were hiking up there to see some waterfalls, and we're like up in the middle of nowhere. And we're like, there's an Assembly of God church here. I mean, you know, we're on foot and we're in the mountains, and we're like, there's an Assembly of God church. We came down the mountain, and it's like, there's an Assembly of God church here, down the mountain. And we got in the vehicle and went into town. There's an Assembly of God church here. All the way back, every village, all the way back to Lome, there's Assembly of God church. In fact, they say within approximately 10 years, we're graduating about 125 pastors every year on the WAS campus. And they're saying that within about 10 years, there'll be no place left to plant a church in Togo. Therefore, the graduates will be forced to become missionaries. Well, I know that, I don't know if that's the best way to do it, but praise God, you know. Then maybe we just probably need to send a good batch of them over here to America and help us out. And get those Spirit-filled, anointed Africans over here and just preaching the word of God and believing God for signs, miracles, and wonders. So God is doing some great things. We just want to say thank you for your support, for believing in us, for praying for us. Keep squeezing those lemons. And remember, Cynthia didn't even say this, but this for some of the ladies at Dustwood Lemon Pledge. There you go. We got a million of them. Anyway, just so you can remember us, because literally, if you're awakened in the middle of the night and feel impressed to pray for a certain missionary, please do so, because it can make the difference between life and death. Seriously. So pray. Keep praying for your missionaries. I don't have time to tell you all the stories, but God is good, and we're thankful not only for your financial support, but for your prayers as well. Well, I want to preach this morning briefly because in Cameroon, sometimes our services, the top service, you know, this is a special occasion, went 7 hours long. So, but that's it's not all preaching, though. You know, just 2 or 3 hours of preaching. So, no, I'm kidding. I'm not kidding about the 7-hour duration, but I'm kidding about the 2 or 3 hours of preaching. It's usually only an hour to an hour and a half. So, in fact, when I first went to Cameroon and I preached a regular American message, the Cameroonians were like, is that all? You know, I walked all this way here to come to church, or I took 3 taxis to come here, and that's all you got? You got another sermon? You know, I mean, so I learned, you know, they were anticipating an hour-long message. So, people hungry for the word of God, hungry for the move of God. It's not always easy for us as Americans to live in Africa, but the wonderful people and the openness for the gospel, it's just a tremendous place to minister. We thank God for allowing us to participate in his mission. I want to preach this morning, seriously, not long, on God's help wanted sign. As we have been back in the States, we've been back in the States I guess, 7.5 months now. But we were, you usually have a little re-entry culture shock. You know, things that have changed over the last 4 years as we've been gone as missionaries. In fact, sociologists say that in America right now, there's a cultural shift in the United States, 2 culture shifts per year in the United States, major culture shifts. So if we've been gone for 4 years, that's 8. So we don't, there are a lot of things about our own country that are shocking to us when we come back. And one of them this time especially was everywhere we went, it's like help wanted. I mean, everywhere we go is help wanted, job opportunities, hiring now, everywhere we go, the job fair, all this kind of thing. We were in a Wendy's, and we went in. First of all, it's not easy to get to a sit down, even fast food restaurant, because, you know, not enough workers. And they were having like a job fair in the Wendy's, and they were like, "Do you need a job?" You know, I was like, "No, I need a cheeseburger." You know, it's like, "I'll fill it out if you'll give me a cheeseburger." You know, it's like, I don't need a job. I'm hungry. So, I mean, we were just shocked. And you're driving down the road and on the back of all the semis, now hiring, join our team. You know, this much, you know, per mile or whatever, they're hiring. Everybody's hiring. In fact, on television this morning, I saw a company advertising help wanted for their, I mean, they're putting it on television now. They're so desperate, you know. I mean, they're spending all that money to advertise they need workers. Well, God also is asking for laborers, for helpers. He's got his help wanted sign out. Let's look in Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. I'll be reading from the New International Version. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first.' The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Take your pay and go. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Prions, let us pray. Père l'Éternel, béni soit ton nom. Tu es merveilleux et digne de louange. Aide-nous ce matin de mettre ta parole en pratique. Engage-nous, ô Dieu, dans la moisson. Utilise chacun de nous. Au nom de Jésus, oins-nous avec ton esprit, afin que nous puissions t'accompagner dans la mission, dans l'œuvre de Dieu, partout du monde. Au nom de Jésus, notre Seigneur et Sauveur. Amen. This parable is found only in Matthew and developed out of two previous stories in chapter 19. The one of the rich young man, verses 16 through 22, and Peter's reaction to that encounter, verses 23 through 30. So basically, the rich young man rejects Jesus' offer of costly discipleship because Jesus basically told him, if you want to be complete, that is fulfilled and fully engaged as a disciple, go sell your possessions and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. But the rich young man went away sad and grieving. Heaven, eternal life, or the kingdom of God was this rich young guy's goal, but wealth and a lack of commitment stood in his way. After this, Peter says, we left everything to follow you. So what do we get out of the deal? You know, basically. So then Jesus, as he normally does, doesn't respond directly to Peter, but he responds with this parable, the one we just read. Jesus wants us to know that those who serve will be rewarded. Those who serve so they will be rewarded will be last. And those who serve simply out of gratitude and obedience will be first. The parable of the vineyard workers, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like. And that's our clue. That what follows is a lesson on how the kingdom of God is at work in the world. So first of all, from this parable, we realize that it's harvest time. The Old Testament word, in the Old Testament, vine or vineyard is an important metaphor to describe Israel. But in this parable, Jesus uses this term differently. Jesus used the vineyard to represent the realm of worldly activity, that is your life's journey. Just whatever you do in life, that's the vineyard. Jesus gives us a mental picture of a landowner at harvest time who is looking for workers to help with his harvest. The landowner himself, notice, went out to recruit the help. Now, the workday in New Testament times would have been 12-hour days divided up into 4 3-hour shifts. This reminds us that we are living in harvest time when God himself is looking for laborers in the harvest. Hallelujah. He's got his help wanted signed out because he's wanting to call each and every one of us into specific service. So what time is it? It's harvest time. It's time for evangelism. It's time for expanding the kingdom. It's time for ministry investment. It's time for program development. It's time for church growth. It's time for church planting. It's time for reaching the unreached. It's time to work in God's vineyard. Now what time? So it is not time for fear. This is not the time for fear. This is not the time for worry. It's not the time to say, oh, it's not the time for wringing of our hands. It's not the time for folding of our arms. It's not the time to say, oh my goodness, this is going on 2 years with this crazy COVID thing. When is it going to be over? You know, we're all so tired of it. But it's not the time to withdraw and to be inwardly looking. It's always time to look externally. Look at those who are hurting. Look at those who are worse off than we are. Look at those who are needing the gospel message. So it's time. It's not time to worry. It's not time to wring our hands. It's not time just to enjoy yourself. You know, there's in Matthew chapter 24, it talks about the signs. And the signs are not to predict the end times. The signs come to us so that we can wake up and set our priorities right. It's like we are in the last days. We've been in the last days since the New Testament. But we're in the last of the last days. And the signs that come, like everybody's wondering about COVID. For me, COVID's just like another sign. It's just a sign that's like, set our priorities straight. Church, get back to doing what we do best, making disciples, reaching the lost. We're not best at just, you know, focusing in on ourselves, but focusing outwardly. So it's not time just to enjoy yourself. And it's definitely not time to hoard stuff. You know, some people like get all concerned about the end times and they start like, you know, you need to stock up on stuff, you know, toilet paper and water, ammo. I mean, some people are like out there saying that. Well, our trust is in the Lord. It's not in ourselves. Not that we've got to prepare. You know, we don't need to dig bunkers. We don't need to hide in our tornado shelters. You know, we need to trust in the Lord and work for Him. It's the last days, and with COVID, this is our sign. We need to set our priorities and work more even for God, because the time is coming, Jesus said, when no man can work. Now, we've got electricity now, but Jesus was talking metaphorically. He was just saying there'll be a time, you know, work in the day because night is coming when no man can work. Well, people work in the night all the time now, but he's speaking metaphorically. There'll be a time when time's up. And the signs come along and say, it's getting closer and closer and closer. So let's work faster and faster for God. Let's do all that we can. Set our priorities right. Invest in the kingdom of God. You know, work for God. It's not time to stock up stuff and go hide in a cave somewhere. It's time to reach out. Reach the lost. Do all that we can for the kingdom of God. Yet, if you notice in the story, the landowner goes back again, suggesting that, secondly, the harvest is great. The harvest is abundant. So the landowner went back to hire more laborers three more times at 9, noon, and 3 p.m., and he agrees to pay them what is right. So they just kind of have a loose contract, verbal contract. All three groups trust in him to do what is right. Friends, we can trust God. If God asks you to do something, you know, trust that he will do what's right. You will be rewarded in so many different ways. It's not just monetary ways, but you'll be rewarded. You know, when Jesus did all these miracles and stuff, and sometimes he even tested the disciples, when he was multiplying the bread and the fish, you know, before that he was, the disciples were like, where are we going to get enough food? And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. They're like, what? You know? Because God wants us to participate in the miracle. He doesn't need our help. I mean, when Jesus was there in the wilderness area, and he's preaching this great crowd of people, and he's going to feed all these men, women, and children on just one little boy's lunch, he didn't even need that little boy's lunch. Jesus just could have said one word and fed everybody. Buffet. You know, and just, it was just like buffet in the wilderness. Now, I'm sure it'd be all kosher, but you know, he didn't need the help of the disciples, but he tested them because he wanted them to get involved in what he was going to do. We get the privilege to participate in the miracle of what God is doing around the world. That's our privilege. So it's not time to look inwardly and hide ourselves. It's time to participate in the miracle of what God is doing in the world. It's harvest time, and the harvest is abundant. The harvest is great. People are being saved all over the world. I mean, churches are opening virtually by the hour in Africa. It's incredible what God is doing. So we need to participate. We need to work in the harvest, because the harvest is great. The harvest is abundant. In this part of the story, we see an increased urgency on the part of the landowner. He's not waiting for people to come by and volunteer. He's actively seeking help to bring in his harvest. He's wanting you. His sign's out. Help wanted. Yeah, and I mean you. Now with time running out, the landowner goes back to town into the marketplace at the 11th hour. That's 5 p.m. because it's going to be dark. They didn't have electricity, so that's the last hour to work. And we notice this. Thirdly, the task is urgent. The increased urgency now becomes an emergency. Here, there's only 1 hour left in the day to work. The workers are urged to go. There's no time even for a verbal contract. The landowner said, you go into the vineyard too, without even discussing wages or saying, I'll do what's right. They just trust the landowner and they go. It's urgent. There's a sense of desperation too in these workers. They need to work, even if it's just for 1 hour. They need to participate. There's also a time when everyone needs to work faster because time is running out. No one knows when the end will come except God the Father. Yet as we look around, it seems that we are definitely in the 11th hour. We need to have an urgency about our work for the kingdom. The time is short. The time is now. And gratitude, fourthly, should be our motivation to participate in the harvest of God. All that we are, our talents and abilities, everything that we have, all that we ever accomplish is a gift from God. You know, I don't know if you've got trophies or whatever, but all of that, it's thanks to God. If you've ever won a blue ribbon or any kind of trophy or any color ribbon, you know, it's thanks to God. Your gifting and ability comes from God. And the only appropriate response for all of this is gratitude. Yes, it's harvest time, and the harvest is great. The task is urgent, yet our motivation for service should be gratitude and not reward. There are five groups of laborers mentioned in this parable, and one group that wasn't even mentioned. Four out of five received more than they expected. The last group would have been shocked to receive 12 times what they were expecting. The landowner was abundantly generous. Aren't you glad for the many times that God treats us better than we deserve? I heard your youth pastor say that this morning. He treats us better than we deserve. Now, the first group, they were not happy. They received exactly what they'd agreed upon. Yet they felt like they were not being treated fairly because they didn't get a bonus. You know, like, hey, you paid those guys 12 times more than they deserve. What about, I mean, I'm sure they were expecting, you know, and everybody else got more than they deserved. Every group got more than they deserved. They got the full denarius. That's a silver coin that was the average army worker's pay for a Roman soldier for a full day's work. So they're getting a full day's work for 1 hour's work, for a few hours work, for half a day's work, and so on. And so they were thinking, oh man, everybody's getting more than they deserve. Boy, we're no telling what we're going to get. You can just imagine what's going through their mind. Maybe we'll get what would that be, denarii? I don't know. Anyway, they were expecting more. And when they got to the end, they were like, wait a minute, we just got a denarius. You know, and they were upset. They were mad. They're like, we worked 12 times more than that first group. We were out there in the heat of the day. We're out here bearing the burden of this whole harvest on our backs, and you just give us a one denarius. But this parable is not a guide to modern business practices. So if you own a business, you know, this is not applicable to your business. Don't go pay in the people who work the least amount, you know, 12 times more than they deserve. It could cause a real problem. You know, so don't try this at home with your kids or your business, but it does reveal profound truths about the nature of God. Now, there's another group in this parable. They weren't even mentioned. Those were the people who were not even available at any time of the day. They weren't there. Where were they when the landowner was looking for help? Maybe they were too distracted to work in the vineyard. We need to work for God out of a grateful heart for what God has done for us, trusting God to do what is right and not comparing ourselves with others. Simply do what God is asking you to do and trust Him. And make sure you're not too distracted with your own plans, your own work, your own hobbies, your own interests, so that you can respond to God's help wanted sign, urgent need of laborers. His help wanted sign is out. He's actively seeking you. You're uniquely gifted to work in His vineyard. Only you can do what God has gifted you to do. There's nobody else. There may be somebody that looks just like you in the world, your doppelganger, whatever. But they're not gifted the same as you. You're unique, and God created you for a purpose, for a mission. In Latin, it's called Missio Dei, the mission of God. He created you for a mission. His help wanted sign is out. He's actively seeking you. So get involved in His vineyard and let obedience and gratitude be your guide. So remember this, it's harvest time. The harvest is great. The task is urgent. So let's participate out of a heart of gratitude and obedience in what God is doing here and all around the world. Let's do all that we can, as quick as we can, for all those who will hear, to preach the gospel everywhere, to everyone, in every place, every language, to every tribe, every place, everywhere. If you are ready to answer that help wanted sign, I just want you to stand to your feet. Whatever way God is wanting to use you, just stand and tell Him, "Here am I, Lord." Some of you may even be called to the mission field, maybe some of you even to Africa. But He is actively seeking you, even this morning. The Holy Spirit is speaking to all of us, day and night. If we will just listen, He will give us direction. And if He calls you, He will equip you and provide for you. And He will protect you. And He will give you grace. You know, there's always that, I even used to joke when I was at Evangel. I had a second story dorm room for one time, and I'd catch somebody walking down the sidewalk. They couldn't see me, and I'd go, "Go to Africa." And they'd be like, "Lord, is that you?" Well, you know, I think God has a great sense of humor, and He's like, "You know, I'm going to call you. You're joking, but, you know, I'm going to tap you on the shoulder. You're going to Africa for at least 32 years so far." So God is calling us to work for Him. Let's answer the call. And let's trust Him to do what's right. Let's abandon our dreams for our lives, our goals for our lives, and say, "Jesus, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Give me the strength and the grace. Help me to work for you. Help me to live for you." And let's pray. I'm going to pray that way for you, and I'll pray in French. It's just praying that God would anoint you and use you, and you'll hear His voice and you'll respond. Ô Dieu, aide chacun de nous d'écouter ta voix. parle profondément dans nos cœurs. Agis. Agis profondément dans nos esprits. Et aide-nous de travailler pour toi. D'entrer dans la mission de Dieu. Bénis-nous, roigne-nous pour le service, pour la moisson. Ô Dieu, aide-nous, donne-nous la vision de Jésus et équipe chacun de nous. Utilise-nous, ô Dieu, dans ton royaume, à partir d'aujourd'hui et à jamais. Au nom de Jésus, notre Seigneur et Sauveur, celui qui nous aime, bénis-nous ce matin afin que nous puissions devenir les bénédictions du monde. Amen. Que Dieu vous bénisse abondamment. May God richly bless you, everyone. Pastor Steve.
Thank you, Brother Jimmy. You can be seated for a few moments. We're going to ask our ushers to come. One of the ways that you can be involved this morning is by supporting the work of Jimmy and Cynthia Lemons there in Togo. And so we're going to receive an offering for them. If you're giving, you can put that in an envelope and put lemons on it. Not literal lemons, put the name lemons on it. Put your name on it. Make it, if you're making out a check, make it out to Noble Assembly of God. We'll see that he gets all of that. And so, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this challenge this morning that we've heard to be involved in the work of the harvest. I thank you, Lord, that you have a work to do for each one of us. Lord, you designed and created each one of us with specific goals and talents and ideas in your own mind as to what you wanted us to do in this world and the life you've given us. And I thank you, Lord, that when we follow your plan, we will never regret it. May not always be easy, may not always be the easiest way, but it is the best way. And so, Lord, we just dedicate ourselves today to following your will for our life. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to partner with you in the harvest, to partner with the Lemons and other missionaries that you've called. Lord, we know that as some go, there are many that are called to send. And together we both receive the reward by being faithful to what you've called us each one to do. Lord, bless this offering today, Lord, and we just pray that your provision be seen by the Lemons and these partners that they're raising up, Lord. If people can give $250, a one-time gift, to help with this incredible pioneering opportunity to begin this program in French, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to hearts if there's someone or more than someone that you want to do that today. We just thank you because we know that you will provide. We just give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Our worship team is going to come and sing one more song while we receive the offering this morning.
I see your promises in fulfillment.
See the evidence of God all over your life? Does the world see the evidence of God in your life? I trust that they do. Amen. Lord, thank you for this service this morning. Thank you for our special ministry guests, our missionaries, Jim and Cynthia Lemons. Thank you, Lord, for everyone here today. I pray that as we leave this parking lot, we will all realize we are headed into our own mission field. Use us, Lord, to win the lost, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.